Saturday night, check out Solar Grooves, an amalgamation of jazz, soul, and groove with DJ Sun and the Solar Grooves family from 9 p.m. to midnight on KPFT 90.1. Solar Grooves, Saturday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight.
Used to feel so good. I'm a stranger now in my neighborhood. I've seen the world at a faster pace, and I'm coming now from a different place. No, I may look the same way to you. Underneath there is somebody new. I am not the boy next door. I don't belong like it did before. Been saving those souvenirs, faded photographs from my foolish years. I made plans, but they're wearing thin, and they won't work out, cause I don't fit in. And those memories will just weigh down, cause I got no place to keep them uptown. I am not the boy next door. I don't belong like I did before.
You want more? Hit it.
Get out your white suit and your tap shoes and tails. Let's go backward when forward fails.
lonely star on your own.
I've been to cities that never close down, from New York to Rio and old London town. But no matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia home. All the sons and daughters spinning round the world, away from their family and friends. And as the world gets older and colder, it's good to know where your journey ends. Someday we'll all be together once more, when all of the ships come back to the shore. I realize something I've always known, I still call Australia home. All the sons and daughters spinning round the world, away from their family and friends. But
program contains language or images of a frank or sensitive nature, which may be considered objectionable by some. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, you've tuned in to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, dialogue, and music geared for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people and their friends. Here at After Hours, we may be diverse, but we have one thing in common. We are all out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of their closets. That means standing up for yourself, taking responsibility for your own life, and being proud of who you are. Realistically, we know not everyone can do that because of age, job, or frame of mind. That's okay. We're here for you too. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of After Hours. Thank you.
Hello, Houston and College Station and Galveston and the world, and welcome to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. This is the Saturday, November 15th show. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your producer for the evening. And to my right
is David.
Hey, David, how you doing? Jose just walked in. Woo-hoo. Jewel's waiting. Jewel and Jim are waiting in the wings. We've got, well, they're waiting in the talk studio. Okay. and I think Rainbow's in there with them. We've got the cast of the newest play at Theater Suburbia in the lobby. So, you know, we've just got a lot going on tonight.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But until then, got a couple of things to put in your ear. The place to be.
You and putting things in people's ears. What is up with that?
That's, you can't put it anywhere else, darling.
That's right. Won't let me do it anywhere else. So, hey, that's what I got to do.
Well, your virgin ears.
You got to do what you got to do. You know?
Slap it in our ears then, Jimmy.
The place to be. This... November 20th is in front of City Hall, because that is the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
I'm actually planning on going to that.
Yes, I have been too, and I'm planning on going also. Yeah, and the Transgender Day of Remembrance, a day to memorialize the transgender community, bias murder victims, will be observed Thursday evening at 7 p.m. November 20th on the front steps of City Hall. Rain or shine. This year's events again include two victims killed in Houston. The Day of Remembrance, an offshoot of the Remembering Our Dead website, www.gender.org/remember, annually draws hundreds of transgenders and their supporters from across the country to come out and say that each and every human is valuable and honored, and no one should be so marginalized that their death doesn't matter. Transgenders often tend to be viewed as the lowest caste of society, says Vanessa Edwards Foster, who also chairs the National Transgender Advocacy Coalition, NTAC. Houston's vigil, as has been tradition, will begin at the far end of Herman Plaza near Smith and Walker with a candlelight procession alongside the reflecting pool up to the front steps of City Hall facing the pool. After a brief invocation, the assembled will individually read off the names of those who have died over the past year, and each candle snuffed after each name is read. After finishing the reading of the names, there will be a brief speeches before ending the observance. But then on other stuff going on, like today, Sunday, woo-hoo, November the 16th, the Sambuca Sisters presents Nuns with Guns, Bullets Over Brazos. Yes, their annual Christmas show is at 5 o'clock p.m. featuring the Austin Baptist women. And this is benefiting the AIDS Foundation Houston's Camp Hope. That's at the BRB.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, the Austin Baptist women are incredible. Incredible.
Incredible. How much is that going to be, Jimmy?
What? It's a fundraiser. You go there and, you know, you stuff dollars in, you know,
in people's underwear.
No.
Oh. I was thinking
of EJ's last night.
So EJ's,
sorry,
right.
I was there for the Space Center thing last night.
And then you stay for the strip contest. Huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
I had to do my work and then have my pleasure.
That's right.
That's your song, patio.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's
EJ's. Was I still wearing clothes?
Strip contest every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And Saturday.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Boy, those little boys just love to take off their clothes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the annual Bitter Broad Society and Sarcastic Sewing Circle show will be at Mary's, naturally, on November 22nd. That's next 23rd. That's next Sunday at 5 p.m. All bitter broads and anyone else with a grudge is encouraged to participate.
So you'll be there?
This year's theme is... this year's theme is We Still Hold a Grudge. The show will be benefiting the NLA Toy Drive and Camp Hope. And from Space City Empire, stuff going on. Sunday, I just talked about the bitter broads, and on Sunday, we'll talk about that, that's 2 weeks from now. Sweet Mama Cotton wrote in about some stuff she's doing, because on Sunday, this Sunday, from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. at the Hut at 4307 Treeschwig in Spring is a benefit for the family of Sugar Daddy Joe Bowers.
And what was that street address again?
Treeschwig.
Treeschwig.
Yeah. Treeschwig?
That's the one. In Spring.
Okay.
Then at Tuesday, November the 18th from 7 to 9, Wednesday, November the 19th from 9:30 to 11:30, and Thursday, November 20th, from 7 to 9, she will be at the Briar Patch, as she is every week. Yes, we love her over at the Briar Patch. A fantastic movie is also playing tonight, Sunday. There's so much stuff going on Sunday at Rice Cinema at 7 p.m. It's Trembling Before G.O.D. This remarkable film will be screened and discussed by its filmmaker, Sandy Dabowski, starting at 7 p.m. That's Rice Cinema on the Rice University campus, entrance 8 from University Boulevard at Stockton. Admission is $6, free to students with valid ID. Although the film is about gays and lesbians in the Jewish community, it is equally pertinent to each member of other conservative religious communities or to anyone with conflicts between their religious beliefs and innate sexual orientation or gender identity.
Sounds very interesting.
Then, of course...
Pansy Division!
Yes, Pansy Division is coming to Houston, ladies and germs. Yes, indeed. And that will be Wednesday, November 26th. JD and I will be there. We'll be the grandpas in the room. It's going to be Fitzgerald's.
All right.
Yes, over at 2706 White Oak. And they're going to be playing with 30-foot fall. And to kind of let you in on that, I've got a little Pansy Division song that we're going to play. And then we're going to get to Jewel and the gang that has assembled.
Woo-hoo!
This is from Pansy Division's latest CD called Total Entertainment. It's called Who Treats You Right? And you're listening to it on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT. Houston, 90.1 FM. And down there in Galveston Way, you can tune us in at 89.5.
He's into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Pansy Division, Who Treats You Right, from their brand new CD, Total Entertainment. And they will be at Fitzgerald's on Wednesday, November the 26th. Yes, indeedy. And I forgot to tell you the music I played at the very beginning of the show, and it's absolutely new music for everybody, I think, because it is from the brand new Broadway show, The Boy from Oz, which is the musical version of The Life of Peter Allen. And it is, the lead role is played by Hugh Jackman. Now, you may remember him as Wolverine from the X-Men. Ah, yes, and the boy can sing and dance. We did three songs. We did Not the Boy Next Door. We did Everything Old is New Again. And the wonderful song he wrote, I Still Call Australia Home. That's off of The Boy from Oz, original cast recording. And I want to thank the folks over there who sent this to me, over at whatever publicity agency sent it to me. I don't know.
You're supposed to remember those
things. I guess I'm supposed to remember those things. But I never do. It is time for Jewel. It is past time for Jewel. Hello, Jewel.
But she's here.
She's here.
Which is always a good thing.
And you have
another room full.
You do indeed.
A complete room full. We had to go.
Seems to happen on your show almost every month now.
Well, it is kind of fun, isn't it?
But that is a good
thing. Remember when it used to be so bad, we'd drag them in off the streets?
Uh-huh.
Anybody, come here. Let's talk about being homeless.
You think she's joking?
No, I'm serious. We had 4 hours, and it was tough to fill sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially at this hour. It's hard to get people down.
Yeah.
Those who come down are pretty dedicated.
But these are theater people. They're up late.
That's why I said they're pretty dedicated. They're like these people. They come down to share with us the things that they do from Theater Suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been listening lately, you've known that it's one of my passions now. Is
absolutely.
Live theater. I was talking to a couple of these people last time I saw them, and we were talking about, you know, that no two shows are alike because it's live. You're not getting a rerun on TV and
seeing the same thing. Well, this show is probably unlike anything that has ever been at Theater Suburbia.
Is that right?
The show is called Uh-Oh, Here Comes Christmas, and I have seen it.
Yes, I have
already.
Too, yeah.
Yes, and I'm you know, you're not used to like a lot of music,
right?
At Theater Suburbia,
a lot of singing,
choreography,
yeah,
you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you were the choreographer? Oh, Tommy was the choreographer. Ooh, another what was his name? Bob Fosse in the making here. Okay, Elvin's here, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the play.
Well, Doris is here too.
And Doris is here, but Doris always is real quiet.
Elvin is usually
what?
It's exactly the opposite
what?
At the theater. But here it's
Doris
to get her to
is
talk.
Quiet?
We did get a nice introduction when she first came down,
yes.
But since then she's been kind of quiet.
I know. But see,
but
Elvin is
here.
The director, so
right.
You know, he
Elvin
gets to talk.
I directed it, I didn't.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to let Elvin
next
talk
time
about
I'll
it.
Talk a lot.
Okay. So, okay. Okay.
So we can blame me with this one.
So you're going to tell us what this is about, and tell us it's a Christmas.
It is our seasonal offering. It is called Uh-Oh, Here Comes Christmas. And just to give you an idea, when I read it, any show that starts off with Hark the Hairy Angel Sings has my vote. It is a series of vignettes, sort of a storytelling style with some music and choreography interspersed. And it's really about Christmas memories, or holiday memories, not even Christmas, holiday memories.
Uh-huh. And, you know, when we talked about coming down here, I had I was trying to think of what would be best. It was a choice between this piece you're going to do and the piece about the school pageant.
Mm-hmm.
Or a church pageant.
Right.
It was that was just hilarious. And all these are, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek memories, those memories that sometimes you wish you didn't have, but you still treasure.
Absolutely. I think that puts it very well.
The Christmas memories that, you know, the ones that aren't the Courier and I's, you know, memories.
And this one is called Refrigerator Confessions.
And before I want to visit with people just a few seconds, because
sure.
we took almost an hour last time just talking to everybody.
Yeah, and that was
mostly,
fun.
Yeah, I know. Mostly the same people are here. You weren't here.
No.
And... You were here.
I've been here, but I was here during the melodrama, but not the last show.
Not the last show.
Right. Morgan was here during the last show.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to, but you was here.
No, he wasn't.
Me. You sure?
She slipped it in twice.
You just see me a lot.
But I want to quickly introduce everybody, and, you know, and because it's not a play and you can't really identify with a character, it's going to be hard to really identify who you are in the show. Anybody, did that make sense?
No.
It made sense to me.
Because you play different people, different characters in the little vignette, so it's hard to say, well, you will be Colonel Mustard in the dining room with a knife, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to be hard to label you. So, let's see. Do you want to talk, Andy? No, okay. So you are?
Amy.
And Amy, you've been doing this how long? Because you can't be but 12 years old.
No. A little over a year.
A little over a year. Well, how old are you, sweetie?
14.
Oh, well, I wasn't bad. Jeez. I wasn't bad. 14, and you go down there, and you've been doing this for a year, not just at Theater Suburbia, at other theaters?
This is my first show at Theater Suburbia. And I haven't been acting for a year, though, but I've done other stuff. Mainly, pretty much all the other stuff I've done has been a company on stage, because I live right by there. So.
Cool. So you're now you're branching out.
Yeah.
Well, cool. How'd you like doing this show?
I like it.
I mean, it is kind of different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you came. And you are? You were here before.
Uh-huh.
I remember that smile.
I'm Katie.
And you're Katie. And Katie, you sing in this. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
You did an excellent job.
Thanks.
And you've been doing this for how long?
About 3 years. I started when I was a freshman. So, now I'm a senior. That's a boy, I guess.
So you're about 14.
Yeah, about.
Well, you know, it's important that people realize that this isn't some old stuffy kind of theater that, you know, people get an image. This is really your neighborhood theater.
Right, it's fun. It's social theater.
Right, it's social theater. And people get together, they make good friends, and, you know, they learn things, and they get to experience things. And from, you know, 14 to, you know, ancient.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, you were. I was trying to think. You were one of the little kids that had to be the shepherds. Weren't you a shepherd?
I was an angel.
No, he was an angel.
Johnny was a
50-50 shot. An angel shepherd. Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry I skipped you, sweetie. What's your name?
I'm Melina Twyman.
And you've been doing this how long, Melina?
I don't know, like about 2 years or 1 year.
And you're how old?
I'm 11.
11, isn't that great? I just love this, that they, you know, are involved so young. And did I leave you hanging somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure. And you are?
Tim Newman.
And Tim, you've been doing this a long time, because the first play I saw at Theater Suburbia, you were in. And it was the Christmas play last year.
Actually, I have been, actually for the same time Katie has, because my first show.
Melodramas.
Really?
My first show was Melodrama with Katie.
Really?
So. Yes. So about 3 years now.
Wow, that's a long time too. Well, I think I saw you, the first thing I saw you played either you played the pilot or the pilot's boyfriend.
No, I was the flight attendant.
I was flight attendant. That was the first thing I saw.
Yes, that was me.
Yeah, that was the first thing I saw you. And what do you think of this? I mean, doing this kind of unique stuff.
This is very different for me. I wasn't expecting as much singing as there was. But
you carried it well. You know, that's a hard thing for the average person to carry a tune. It really is.
It was good. It's definitely an experience. I'm definitely a learning experience. And, you know,
well, the nice thing about it is it's kind of light. And, you know, if you missed an octave or something, you know, it would kind of go with the rest of it.
Me miss an octave?
It would kind of go with the rest of it. And you are?
Carolyn Montgomery.
And Carolyn, you've been there a while too, because I've seen you in a couple of things.
Since 1974.
Damn, that's a wild girl. That's a wild girl.
Yes.
And what do you think about?
Well, we've never done
this
anything
kind of style, because you had to sing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, when Elvin presented the show to me, he said, "This is a play with music."
It is. It is a play with music.
He did not say anything at all about dancing,
right,
singing, and doing that. But that's fun, and I like to do that sort of thing.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's cool. A good
you show. All were great. Yeah. You were great.
We had fun with it.
And you are the butler.
Not this one. Morgan Granberry.
Morgan Granberry. And I asked you last time, but I'm going to ask you again. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about a year. In fact, I took her to an audition, and I read, and I got a part in a play exactly a year ago in November.
Cool. And how'd you feel about doing all this singing and dancing?
Well, it seems...
Because you do have a kind of a deeper voice.
It kind of gravitates toward me. This is like the third play where I've done singing this year.
Really?
So,
cool. Know,
in one way, shape, or form, and everybody's just about had enough of me.
And you are?
I'm Tommy Hunter.
And Tommy, you've been doing this quite a while.
I've been doing theater since I was in the fourth grade.
That's quite a while.
The first show I ever did was Annie Get Your Gun at Galena Park High School, which is a musical. And I fell in love with musicals at that point in my life and have gone to drive my life towards that area. So when an opportunity came up to do something with music, I jumped at the chance to do it.
Well, great.
I also got an opportunity to choreograph this show, which was a lot of fun choreographing, and because I haven't done that in quite a few years. And for those who didn't expect the choreography, they were real champs. They were real champs.
I'm telling you, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
If somebody misstepped or wasn't on key, I wouldn't have noticed it because I was having too much fun. You know, it would never have occurred to me.
I had a little misstep.
I think I honestly
unless you fell down, I wouldn't notice it.
You might have noticed
it. I honestly think that the best thing about this show is the fact that no matter what part of the show you're watching, you can remember something from your past Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
In this show.
Oh, yeah.
It will bring up or stir a memory from a past Christmas or a past holiday that it will remind you of something that you've been through, so everyone can relate to the stories that are in
this show. And that's why when we discussed this earlier, I said I wanted to do the refrigerator confessions. Is that what it is?
Because you could relate?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've
got
to hear about this.
Oh, big time. I can relate to the, you know, getting up late at night for the, you know, and finding four or five other relatives sitting around and it turning into a, you know, chat fest all night long kind of thing. Oh, yeah. And you are?
Brenda Kusumba.
Brenda, and you've been doing this a while because I've seen you in a couple of things. I really liked you in the one Judy directed. What was that?
Could Angels Be Blessed.
That's right. I really liked you in that.
Thank you.
And you've been doing this how long?
3 years.
3 years. Cool. And you came from this from just like walked up and auditioned or?
Well, I did some acting in high school and then several years after that, I decided to do it again.
Cool, cool. What did you think about all the dancing? I mean, you know, this for the straight actor, the dancing and singing must have been kind of shocking to, you know, to have to deal with.
Yeah, it was a shock to me because I've never done structured dancing with a group like that or singing.
What exactly does that mean? You've never done structured dancing with a group like that.
All of us together at the same time.
Choreography, yeah. I'm used to karaoke and freestyle dancing. But
what's in your heart?
A challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yes,
but she knew the dance first.
And she is the champion, yes. Just like everyone.
Well, everybody did a great job. It was great. You know, if I had the kind of wherewithal, I would go multiple times during the, you know, I can just barely afford to get down there once. And it's not because it's too expensive, because it's not, folks. It's very cheap. It's just because I'm cheap.
Tell the truth, cheap.
But I did get down there. And, where were we? Oh, I want to go back to Elvin so you can tell us, Elvin Stock, so you can tell us what exactly kind of set us up for what they're going to be doing here, the refrigerator.
Okay,
confessions.
They're doing a vignette about refrigerator confessions.
Basically set up.
Somebody help me here. I don't know what it's
called.
It's
kind of
like what you were saying, Jules, about remembering that there was a time in your life when everyone would gather around the table and talk and confess things that they've done in their lives. And, you know, at the same time that this is going on, there's something else that's happening. There's a guy who's actually going through the refrigerator and thinking about all the crazy different kinds of meals that he's had and things like that. So everyone
I've had some
relate.
Of those. I think that's why I related, too, because I've had some of those meals.
So most people relate to having something happen to them like that.
Cool. So,
Jewel.
Do you want to add anything? What?
Just got a call.
Hey, your face is really different.
What?
I'm in training. That's why I'm over here.
Damn, I looked up and I heard the voice and the face was different.
We have David is an engineer in training.
Cool.
I just got a call from Judy.
Oh, good.
Hi, Judy.
I knew she'd be listening. She couldn't miss this.
Yeah, she's...
Because, you know, she was assistant director this time?
Co-director.
Oh, forgive me. Co-director,
fearless,
Judy.
Fearless leader.
It was co-director. That's nearly director.
Fearless leader.
Fearless leader.
Fearless leader.
But what's she up to? How's she doing?
Did she do most of the music or something?
Yes, she did.
Yes.
And it was fabulous. fabulous.
Yes, it was.
She just had surgery.
Yes, I was just asking, how is she?
She's doing fine.
Good.
But she's still on drugs. And so
lucky,
there will be no
lucky
driving.
Dog.
Right.
Yeah, really. Well, I keep begging her. I send her emails, you know, with what, is there anything I can do for you? What can I do for you? And I keep getting these emails back that say, nothing right now, but I'll keep you in mind.
Well,
so
you know,
I figure if she needs something, she'll call me.
What she could use is someone to occupy Bruce, but I don't think that's...
No, that's not me.
No.
No, that's not me.
Okay.
So, did she have to, did she want to add something about the play?
No, she just wants
to say hi.
To know she's listening.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Love
so you.
We love
so
you.
So be very afraid.
Get well soon. Okay, so I think that's about it. Do you guys know where you're going to go? Do I need to, like, count you down? One and a two.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go.
Some may say the room with the Christmas tree is the most important room in the house during the holidays. But most of us know the real mission control for the countdown to Christmas is...
The kitchen!
And next to the Christmas tree, the most important fixture in the house during the holidays is definitely...
The refrigerator!
Throughout the year, on a very local scale, the refrigerator is the center of the universe. Inside is food essential to life, and on the outside is a life summary of the events of the household. Grocery lists, report cards, cartoons, schedules, commands.
During the holidays, the fridge is often decorated as much as the Christmas tree, with reindeer magnets holding up pictures of kids with Santa, and great seasonal works of art made out of construction paper, cotton balls, and glitter.
With a Santa clip magnet stuck to the outside door, with succulent holiday recipes dangling from it.
This, of course, to build up gastronomic anticipation for the coming Christmas feast.
Turkey roulades with apricots. Rosemary stuffing with apricot mustard sauce.
Roasted potatoes and kale with caramelized garlic dressing.
Curry squash soup with frizzled leeks.
Sweet potato meringue pie.
Around the holidays, some people can stay up till 2 a.m. working out menus, finishing recipes that have to chill overnight, wrapping presents, or writing out Christmas cards. But I've always thought of 2 a.m. as feeding time. The time when I've had some of the best meals I've ever eaten. Real gourmet eating, alone, with nobody standing around saying,
"You're not really going to eat that, are you?"
One memorable midnight, I put away a taco shell stuffed with anchovy paste and washed that down with a can of Snappy Tom that had been in there so long there was rust on the can. Then I had some celery sticks limp enough to tie granny knots in. And then I ate a whole dish of tapioca pudding that I picked up out of the bowl in one piece. The last inch from a bottle of red wine made way for a scoop of cold chili smeared on rye bread and topped with fig jam. Finally, I revived a cup of dead coffee in the microwave and went out on the porch to sit and look at the moon and smoke the remaining half of a cigar. One of the truly greatest meals I've ever eaten.
Cornbread stuffing with chestnuts, currants, and tarragon butter.
Spice layer cake with mocha butter cream and toasted pecans.
Roast chrysanthemum onions.
Roasted Scottish parsnips with apricots and dates.
Another dead-of-the-night dining extravaganza happened because I was up late reading the White Trash Cookbook. There's a recipe in there for rack of spam. You take a can of spam, which we just happen to have left over from a camping trip, and you butterfly the loaf, which means slicing it into thin sections without cutting all the way through. And then you bend open the spam and you stick in pieces of pineapple chunks, which is why you've been saving that half can of hairy pineapples on the refrigerator on the back shelf. For garnish, top it off with some peanut butter and maraschino cherries. Pop that baby in the microwave for about 4 minutes. Open a box of saltine crackers and grab a whole quart of milk from the fridge. Drink it straight from the carton. Take your time and eat it all. Recipes like this? They're never clipped to the front of the fridge, but I've seldom eaten better.
shape into a star, and bake for 2 hours.
Simmer till broth evaporates.
Chill for 45 minutes.
Pop it all in the blender and let her rip.
Meanwhile,
set the table.
Figure out the seating.
Father.
Mother.
Daughter and her fiancé.
Son and his wife.
Fill the house with wonderful smells.
Bless the food.
And
the day.
And the family.
Dig in.
Eat way too much.
Relax around the table.
Laugh.
Tell stories.
Reminisce.
Pour more coffee. And talk for hours.
Is this decaf?
Do you want decaf?
Yes.
Then it's decaf. Oh, I know. If you want to know the real truth, there were times when I told you it was when it really wasn't. But this really is. Really.
Well, as long as we're confessing things, I use your sewing scissors all the time to cut cardboard and aluminum foil. But I always put them back.
I used them when I was a kid to give haircuts to all my Barbies, but I always put them back too.
No one has ever used the real sewing scissors because they've always been hidden in a shoe in my closet.
I used the wok to change the oil in my car.
And I was the one who ate all the baking chocolate and drank the cooking sherry.
He filched money from your purse. And I filched money from the top of your dresser.
I know. You all filched money from my purse. I filched money from your piggy bank and took a cut of the cash grandmother sent for presents. Fair is fair.
We had a party once while you were out of the house.
Did we ever?
But we really don't know who puked in the closet.
It wasn't the neighbor's kids who peed obscenities in the snow in the front yard.
You may have eaten all the baking chocolate, but I know what happened to at least some of the cooking sherry.
The Playboy subscription was not a gift from a friend.
And it wasn't a coincidence that I volunteered to take out the trash on the days I thought you threw them out.
You didn't eat all the baking chocolate.
Or drink all the cooking sherry.
His first kiss was from the neighbor's cousin, 4 years older than him. But she was ugly, though. Really ugly.
Oh, yeah? Well, her first kiss was from me. She asked me to show her how. It's really gross to kiss your sister.
Your father and I had a real scare in college, which is why I never mentioned that I found condoms in your room when you were 17.
Sometimes I said I missed you when really I was glad to be alone for a little while. And sometimes I said I loved you when I didn't love anyone, not even myself.
It wasn't always your father who farted in the car. I know. I cried when you finally left home for good. But don't think that your father and I want you back more than 3 or 4 days at a time. Well, maybe 5 days at Christmas.
Six, when you finally start to bring our grandchildren along.
Oh, I know. We fooled each other about a lot of things, but not about loving each other.
Great dinner, Mom. Mm-hmm.
The best.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Then there's the holiday leftovers. Let's face it, there are things about Christmas dinner that can sometimes make it a strain. You have to dress up and behave, and there's all that ritual fuss and bother with too many people and too much food. But two nights later is a different story. The good news from the angels has given way to the good news in the fridge, and the tall, cold box in the kitchen becomes the Fort Knox of late-night dining. The pecan pie has ripened and congealed now, so you can pick up a big piece with your hand. The cranberry sauce has matured, and the word drumstick has taken on Shakespearean proportions. And oh, the dressing. The dressing has transmogrified into something that would give truffles and caviar a run for their money. Finally, the dressing has arrived. A true Christmas blessing is in order. This is not a group activity. It is a private religious experience. In the holy solitude of the midnight hour. And it is at times like this that you have no doubt that life is good and that grace abounds.
But the best leftovers are memories.
I'm not often aware that I'm happy, but I often remember that I have been happy, especially when I sit in my kitchen, wrapped in an invisible patchwork quilt made of the best moments of yesterday's.
These precious things, these holiday leftovers, remain to serve as survival rations for the heart and soul.
Okay, I don't always go to the refrigerator late at night just to eat, but to think, to sort it all out. And sometimes, I think of the other people who must be at the exact same place in their kitchen at the exact same moment, doing exactly what I'm doing. Hungering. And as I hunger, wondering. And as I wonder, remembering. As I remember. And not really alone, as we often think we are, after all.
Great.
Very nice. And the rest of it was on the same par, so if you got a few minutes and a few dollars and you want one of the best times of this year, because every year you'll get a good time here, go and see this. Tell us where it's at.
We are located at 1410 West 43rd, conveniently located 2 miles north of Loop 610 and Ella Boulevard.
Very easy to find,
just outside the loop.
Yep.
The show runs through November the 29th. We have a Sunday matinee tomorrow and the following Sunday. Other than that, it's Friday and Saturdays.
8 o'clock? 8:30?
8:30 curtain on Friday and Saturday, 3 o'clock curtain tomorrow and next Sunday. Ticket prices are $10 for an adult, $9 for students and seniors. Sunday matinees are $8.
Cool.
It's a great way to kick off the holiday season.
It sure is, and it's wonderful, and that was just a small example. I was really fond of the poinsettia pieces.
I believe it's poinsettia.
Poinsettias. The poinsettias that won't die.
These guys have worked really, really hard, and I think they're having fun on stage in spite of themselves. All of them complained about the singing and dancing. I misled them about the play. But
yes. That's a director's job. Right. Get them on the stage.
Right. And to Judy, if you're still out there listening, we need you back.
That's right. Are we going to go to some music so we don't have all the chairs scraping and bumping and screaming around in here?
Certainly.
Okay,
that
would probably be a good idea before this crowd leaves.
Okay, we're going to be hearing Jay Spears, I Like Mike.
Thank you.
What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. He plays hardball. That's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. Got the leather, got the lumber. He's a true all-star. A permanent pirate in his muscle car. He's always playing hardball. That's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
Ball with the big boys makes him all cocky. Mike holds his own because he's short, but he's stocky. He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
Mike's got an attitude. Give the guy some latitude.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
He doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
He asked me to dance, but I sat it out. Mike got the hint and he spat it out. He doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
Mike doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pipe in a good long while. I like Mike.
Ball player boyfriend.
I like Mike.
Attitude, gratitude.
What's not to like?
since you acquire.
We're getting on like a house on fire.
Because of his incendiary charms, we had to disconnect all the smoke alarms. I gotta say, he's a real live wire, because we're getting on like a house on fire. House on fire, house on fire, we're getting on like a house on fire. If I said we weren't, I'd be some kind of liar, because we're getting on like a house on fire. He's big, like a guard or a tackle. He's burning me up with a crackle, crackle, crackle. He makes me sing like the Mormon Tabernacle. And we're getting on like a house on fire. Make a fireman come. He's everything my heart could desire, and we're getting on like a house on fire. House on fire, house on fire, we're getting on like a house on fire. If I said we weren't, I'd be some kind of liar, because we're getting on like a house on fire. He's big, like a guard or a tackle. He's burning me up with a crackle, crackle, crackle. He makes me sing like the Mormon Tabernacle. And we're getting on like a, we're getting on like a house on fire, house on fire. House on fire. If I said we weren't, I'd be a big fat liar. Cause we're getting on like a house on fire, house on fire. We're getting on like a house on fire. If I said we weren't, I'd be a goddamn liar. Cause we're getting on like a house on fire.
Hey, mister, you sure look cute. Greasy hair and that slick suit. But the one I want is by your side. She was my baby last night. Hey, mister, you sure can glide across that dance floor smooth and wide. There's some moves you haven't tried. She was my baby last night. I know she won't admit it, but she spent all night with me. If you can't keep her busy, mister, you might as well set her free. Hey, mister, she looks content, and we both know she's heaven sent. But look out.
That didn't work out right. Yeah, it was supposed to be programmed. Oh, well, hey. We started out with Jay Spears from his Boy Howdy album with I Like Mike and House on Fire. We've had a couple of requests from our MBBs that they liked that music.
I'm sorry, this is Rainbow. You might have heard him.
Okay, she didn't know she was on. Oops. I Like Mike and House on Fire. And after that, Candy Kane, my favorite bisexual songstress, with Hey Mister, She Was My Baby Last Night.
Very interesting song there.
Something that she loves to tell to those little straight boys. Yeah. Somebody asked about... called back and asked about Sweet Mama Cotton's benefit that's going on tonight. Let's see. Where is that? Here we go. Sunday, November the 16th from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. at The Hut. That's located at 4307 Treschwig, Treschwig, located in Spring, Texas. That's a benefit for the family of Sugar Daddy Joey Bowers. And, of course, that's Sweet Mama Cotton with the Sugar Daddies. So, we've lost one of the Sugar Daddies. So that will be going on 4 to 2 in spring. And Jewel is here. Hey, Jewel.
And I am back.
I am here.
I do want to mention that you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, a Pacifica station. And if you're down in Galveston way, you might be able to pick us up a little bit better at 89.5. It's all yours.
Oh, well, thank you. I was just thinking about Dean Becker. He's going to call later, isn't he?
He's calling at 1:30.
At 1:30. Yes. For those of you who love Dean and his show on KPFT, you can catch him here. Is he on every show?
Every show. Every show here. She calls in for a five-minute thing.
Cool.
And 6 days a week. He has his little five-minute thing at 4:20 in the afternoon. And he has his own show every Tuesday night at 6:30 to 7.
And I think he is the president of Normal in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are into the medical marijuana issues, you might want to tune in at 1:30.
You bet.
And we'll chat with Dean, see what's going on.
Okay.
Let's see. I brought a friend. I brought Cheryl.
Cheryl's here tonight.
I drove her down.
Hi, I'm good.
I told her, come on, girl. I'll put you on the radio.
Okay.
Yep. Yet another helpless victim.
Yes.
That's right. She has no idea. She asked me what I did earlier. What exactly do you do? I said, I keep the madness to a minimum.
and she never succeeds.
And not very well, no.
Because it's always crazy. So what do we want to talk about? Duh. Mr. Talkative over here. Let's talk about insurance. I know that Rainbow can talk to me about insurance. I saw you posted something about your livelihood is kind of threatened here shortly.
Threatened? I don't know what.
I don't know what's going to happen.
About the 1st of January.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, I better tell you what I do. I work for the post office.
As a temporary.
As a casual. They call them casuals, but that's...
But you've been working there...
A politically correct word for temporary.
2 years now?
It'll be a year and a half. And as you know, there was a presidential commission this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but all the casuals that work for the post office, which are temporary employment, are going to have a new employer or something like that. I guess
they're going to stick you with a contract company they contract through.
It's a very good word. Very good word. It's called manpower.
Manpower.
Supposedly the world's largest
contract. Yeah, yeah, it's day labor kind of stuff.
Yes, that's what's going to happen. So,
isn't that awful? How do you feel about that?
It's no insurance.
Right.
No benefits. I mean, it's a continuation.
It's bad enough now.
It's a continuation of it. And I haven't got all the details yet, so I don't know that much. But really, when I hear about people that are working for businesses like the post office, which has 600,000 people, Walmart has 800,000 people, and 3/4 of all their employees can't afford insurance.
Right.
How many is that? 600,000. That's not as many as work at the post office.
Well, the reason I always bring this up when you're here is because I'm uninsured, too, because I'm self-employed.
Right.
And insurance, people don't realize high, individual insurance is for people who are not, only paying half of it through their employer, and their employer bumps in some part of it. It's cheaper and sometimes easier to handle that way.
And your doctor is the ER at,
right.
at Bentob.
Right, and I just got an application for a green card. I'm going to see if I can get a green card. Yeah.
I think it's gold.
Gold card.
Yeah,
gold card.
No,
I need a green card.
Are you going to Mexico or are you coming back from Mexico?
Do I need a green card to go to Mexico?
No, I don't know.
I didn't need one when I went to Canada.
I don't know.
Green cards in Canada.
It's difficult. I have a shirt on. I made this shirt, okay? And on the back of it, it talks about casual.
I can tell you made that shirt.
It talks about casual. And everybody wants to read it, okay, at work. And it says 94% of all temporary employees, temporary workers, have no insurance. Now, recently on the news, 25% of all Texans have no insurance at all. It's sad.
And you brought this up.
They say the economy is getting better.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how they say that. I don't know how anybody believes that anymore.
And the jobs that are... I've been listening to KPFT in the morning and stuff like that. And the jobs that they are creating are all these low-paying...
Mick jobs.
Mick jobs. That's the new word.
Yeah.
And the government...
And you know why it's a new word? Because McDonald protested because Merriam-Webster was going to put it in their dictionary. If they hadn't said a word, it would have slipped in that dictionary. Mm-hmm. Nobody would have known it was there, but they fussed. Now everybody's using it.
That's right.
It serves them right.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And government has their own Mick jobs.
Yep. They sure do.
And it's just not the federal government like the post office. The city government. Your trash person that rides on the back of that blue... That big blue rear loader, my favorite word.
Oh, yeah.
And loads up that trash. I bet you at least one of them that's on the back of there is a person that has a McJob because it's a low paying temporary worker who works seasonal.
Right.
Seasonal. All four seasons.
Right. Any way to skirt around paying people and giving people a decent wage.
And they will transfer them from, well, in my case, when I worked for the city at that time with a McJob from the day after when the fireman was killed. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I was supposed to have been signed up as a full-time employee, but then they had to put this fourth man on the truck. And all the paperwork from many of the people that I was with got pulled. And so we ended up as a temporary. And we were transferred from one temporary agency to another temporary agency.
But you never changed jobs.
Four temporary agencies.
But you never changed jobs, or when you went, it was just paperwork changes from name to name to name.
That's it.
Yep.
And it's really sad.
Some way to beat the system so they don't have to give you
benefits. And in the post office, this is what goes on. In fact, I talked to Garnet Coleman a couple days ago. Okay. State Representative Garnet Coleman. After the special caucus meeting, and I was telling him about things I liked, you know, the bandit sign issue and that issue, and he said, well, my issue is this: health insurance for children. I said, health insurance? Well, that's a topic I like to talk about because I work for the United States Postal Service. And his next words were, oh, you got benefits. Mm-hmm. No, Garnet.
Because
the USPS is hiring temporaries.
They don't know. You know, those guys in Austin have no idea this is going on.
And what is temporary?
Right. Temporary means you're only going to be there a little while, but what, you've been there a year and a half now?
No. Not anymore, because we got temporaries that work for the post office that have been there for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I heard that one lady worked there for 10 years, over 10 years.
So changing the whole meaning of the word.
And they said, well, have you taken the test? Yes, I've taken the test. But the test has nothing to do with the post office. Mm. It's all about memory. Guess what the memory is at the post office? The computer system.
Yeah.
All, everything's computerized. It's all manual work. Yeah. It's all manual work. And so, and it, what it is a catalyst. You know, this test that they give, it's just a catalyst to just say, oh.
So they can weed out people.
Yeah, weed out different people. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to me, it is a disgrace.
I agree.
It is.
And
we're definitely in an insurance crisis in this country.
And it's an embarrassment to what Martin Luther King fought for.
I think I have the answer, though. I think we could fix it overnight. If every single uninsured person went to the emergency room tonight, Congress could fix it in a week.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
But it's an embarrassment.
Okay, all you unemployed people down
It is an embarrassment to the memory of Martin Luther King, because the last day of his life, he was fighting for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Equal pay for equal work.
Right.
It was the garbage workers.
That's right.
That's what they were marching
for. That's what he was up there in. I mean, yes, he was there for the, what would you call it, non-discrimination and all this stuff. But on the day he died, he was in Memphis for one thing.
That's right.
Equal pay for equal work.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like to tout, you know, we've come far from them, but, you know, we really haven't.
And guess what they could have done? He could have lived another day, another year, maybe even today. They could have farmed out those garbage workers to Manpower Agency.
And they probably are right now.
I mean, but that's what they could have done. And they say, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make them casuals. Mm-hmm. We're going to make them casual
some garbage workers. Right. In some office somewhere dreamed this up so that he could get, you know, brownie points from the boss because he cut, you know, money.
Well,
spending.
It's all about the bottom line.
That's right.
Basically.
And what gets me is...
doesn't care that the bottom line chokes the hell out of us.
Right. It's not people to them.
And what gets me when I hear the union people talk... I think it was on KPFT not too long ago, from the post office. Oh, we're going to go to Walmart and protest Walmart so they can get a union and they'll have benefits. What has the union done for the casual employee at the post office?
Nothing, because they don't represent you.
Their own co-workers. They'll go to Walmart, but they won't go to the United States Postal Service and say, hey, it's about time to give these casuals some benefits.
That's right.
That's ignoring the plank in their own eye.
Yes. I cannot believe it.
Pointing out the splinter in somebody else's.
We could have veterans that are casuals, but they couldn't get Veterans Day off. You know, it's really sad.
My God. My God.
In fact, we have no holidays. We have no vacation days. We have no days. We get a certain amount per hour to work. We get nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And if you're sick and you can't get there, you take a cut in pay that week.
You take a cut. That's it.
If they let you come back.
Right.
And that is true, too.
Yeah.
And then every 6 months... we have, it's like 180 days. We can only work up to 180 days. I think it's around that time.
That's when they change the name, huh?
And then they take us off. This is how they get around it before this manpower thing. And I don't know what's going to happen after this. After 180 days, they take you completely off the payroll at the U.S. Postal Service as a casual. You are not on the payroll. And the reason why is it's a little gimmick, a little loophole to keep you as a casual. But they'll tell you 2-3 weeks before all this that you will come back at a certain day, 5 days later. And in the meantime, since you're completely off the payroll, you must go down to the county courthouse and get another criminal background check.
Every 180 days?
Every 180 days.
Jeez,
every 6 months. And every year you have to get a physical. Now, how many of those employees that are regular, full-time benefit employees have to get a criminal background check every year? They don't. They don't have to do it. They don't have to get a physical every year. Hell, we don't even have... We can't get sick. We only have 1 day off a week. Many of them have only 1 day off a week, 7 or 8 days. There's not time to get sick. We don't have time to even go commit a crime and go to jail and go to court.
That's
and
the
yet
sad
we
part.
Have to go downtown and get a criminal background check every 6 months.
And when are you supposed to do that?
I mean,
when are you supposed to do that?
Have you heard? In fact, it takes you 12 hours to even get out of county jail. That's a habit. There's no way. I mean, they would know if I was in county jail.
Right. You couldn't be at work.
Or any jail, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous what we have to go through as casuals. And like I say, it is a disgrace to the market.
Well, I've been fussing lately, you know, about outsourcing.
Well, you know, I've been too.
About the outsourcing of jobs, you know, that are going out of the country. And I sent to the Lone Star activist group this morning a list of jobs, an article I found that was talking about the kind of jobs that in the future, between now and 2015, that will be completely gone from this country. And the only thing left are service jobs.
And they'll probably
Everything else is gonna be gone.
We'll have
medical, service, you know, shopping, small business, you know, local stuff. But all the, you know, really good jobs are going to be out of this country. The whole country is going to have a McJob.
And who will be the owner? Manpower Agency. There you go.
That's right. The Illuminati. Manpower Agency.
There will be nobody with a real job. You know,
how are we going to feed and take care of ourselves with these McJobs, you know? Because the other part of this article showed the comparison of what this person would be paid here and what they're paid, say, in India. and somebody jumped on me because I picked India.
Oh, wow.
It could be any place.
I heard about that.
It could be any place. But the job for like an IT professional, $12 an hour here, $6 there. Jobs like desk clerk. They're sending our desk jobs over there. A lot of clerk jobs over there. Clerks over here make $6 and $7 an hour over there. Over there, they make $1 an hour.
Now yeah, it's like a Union Carbide went there because the technology is so much better over there.
Right, and because they can pay people $1 a day or $1 an hour to do the job that they can't pay. They can't get away with that here. Plus, those people get no benefits. Plus, they're like you. They don't have any benefits. They don't get any options. They don't get time off. And, you know, the thing about it is that they're so desperate for anything over there that they'll do that. And, you know, sometimes people in this country say that we're spoiled. Well, no, we're not spoiled. We've evolved to this point. It's not a matter of being spoiled. We've grown to this
point. We've earned it.
Right. We've earned it. And to be, you know, just... And, you know, my big gripe is the corporations who are making hand over fist. Look what they're saving. You know, from $12 to $6, they're saving that guy's half salary, and everyone like him, they're saving half of that salary. Now, where's that going? Into million-dollar birthday parties for corporate moguls' wives.
Right.
You know, birthday parties that cost $1 million. And that's the only reason this is happening, is so these few fat cats can get fatter. And it just irritates the bejesus out of me. Don't get me started.
What gets me is...
You're started already.
Please get started.
Yes, you're already on that soapbox.
What gets me is the post office... They spent how much money for this guy to bicycle across France?
Right.
And they can't afford their own employees that...
The priorities
they actually do the work.
I mean, where is the priorities?
They just assume you die keeled over, you know, of a heart attack because they don't have to pay anything. Then, you know, and then have all this publicity and promotion for this guy who bicycles across France. Their priorities are gone, and that's what we were talking about earlier. That we people are not a priority.
No.
Bottom line is the priority, and you know it's time that we, you know, try to do something to change that.
My bottom line is gone.
We need to change that. We need to do something.
I don't know what to do. I mean, we can't organize. We can't. You know, you take this oath. You cannot go out in front of the post office and picket or strike.
That's
or,
the idea. They have you earning so little money. Everybody's scraping to make a living.
You're too afraid to lose your job to get out there and do something.
And then there are people that are afraid to even talk about it because they would lose their job.
Right.
And what else can you do? You've got to say something. I mean, you got to educate the people. I mean, like Garnett Coleman, he thought all postal workers have benefits. Because there's this big lie out there. They think we're all like railroad people. Remember the old railroad?
Oh, yeah.
They are the ones that have the best benefits in the world. The railroad has the best benefits in the world, is what I hear. And then the next one is like the post office. And I'm like, all right, I got a job. And this is what gets me also. They say, well, you know, when you got hired, that you're not going to get benefits. Rainbow, they told you when you got hired, you're not going to get any benefits. And you're going, well, how many years, though?
Ever.
These are people that have benefits telling you this?
Yes. Yeah. These are people telling you.
That doesn't stop me from asking for them every year.
I can understand the first 90 days, or maybe the first 6 months. But 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, the lady with 15 years as a casual without benefits?
Yep.
That is wrong.
Yep.
That is taking temporary a little too far.
What is temporary? It doesn't mean anything.
It's perverting the whole meaning of the word, basically.
You know, when I think it was you and I were talking about, you know, no, it was somebody else who was my
age. Okay, not me. Okay.
It was somebody else that was my age. We were talking about as we were growing up, I don't know, we may have had this conversation too, about, you know, learning that, you know, work ethic. When we were kids, you know, you get a job, you grow up, you get education, you get a job, you work for that people for 20 years, you retire with a nice little pension and a gold watch, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that is just not there anymore.
No, the idea was we were supposed to have more than our parents. You know, every generation was supposed to do better.
And
now it's just trying to tread water, basically.
That's right.
Trying to get by.
Somebody told me the other day that at least half of the United States is one paycheck away from being homeless.
Well, that's me.
I believe it.
That's me.
I believe it, yeah.
You, not for you, you got savings.
Well,
I was so jealous. This woman uttered the word savings to me the other day. I thought,
I got $25 in my savings.
I should have a couple savings. I think I got about that much, too.
Oh, the other
well, y'all are doing better than me. I think I have like 50 cents.
Pardon?
We don't even get a full 8-hour day. So what money we do make, we do not work 8 hours. If I work 1 hour or a little bit over what I'm supposed to, and some other, you know, like a regular decide, or when I talk about regulars, I mean people that got benefits,
right.
And they didn't work, they get what I got paid also, extra hour. So I said, I do not want to work over, I don't want to work any time over 40 hours because I don't want someone else to get the money that I worked for.
That's right.
That is wrong.
That's definitely wrong.
Yeah. Well, how do they figure that? That's
They'll say, oh, you worked too many hours over time. During the 4th of July weekend, my first weekend back after my 180 days, I worked a little bit over, like 46 hours. And they got, my name was on the top of the list. A big red letters, 46 hours. Oh, you can't do that no more. And the reason why...
So everybody else got 6 hours over?
But there'll be somebody that has seniority, and they will get those hours. There's somebody in the union, he'll get the hours. He or she will get those hours.
It seems like that should be illegal.
It should be.
Because they didn't work.
You know, but they're the government. Is, they can do anything. Yeah.
The thing is, it has to do with... they didn't get permission or something. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't supposed to. I'm a casual. I'm not supposed to work that many hours, you know. It's like
not like you went down there and stood around and had donuts. You worked,
well, let
right?
me tell you, the reason I did work it is because it was a 4th of July week.
Right.
And everybody wanted off. Or they wanted to go home early. They wanted to be with the kids, go fireworks. I don't know what the reason was. But I worked it. And that was the last time
I ever
worked.
Can they make you work overtime, like over that 40 hours? Can they make you work that way and still not pay you for it?
That's against the law. That is against the law. The city tried to do that when I was working with the trash.
Remember don't mess with Rainbow. No, yeah.
That's what Walmart's been doing. They've been sued for that.
Remember when that happened?
Yeah, this could be the kiss of death for Walmart.
Let's hope.
A couple of suits.
Let's hope.
Jimmy was there when it happened. What's your last? The straight Jimmy or the bisexual?
The bisexual Jimmy.
He was there. They were saying, you don't get overtime because you're just a temporary type employee with the city. You know, you're not part.
Right.
You're
part time. Kick some butt for him.
We were just.
And I said, you go out there
for working the over.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember reaches. When you guys got those jobs.
Okay. Well, this was after Allison, and we worked our butts off.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I know. And, well, you put some serious muscle on that butt.
I got buffed.
You did too.
And tan.
You guys were so buff and tan.
But the thing is, the lady that was figuring out our checks, our time, and everything, you don't get. Time and a half over 40 hours. I said you better go out there and look at that red, white, and blue board because it does say it on there. Unless you're a salary employee,
you wonder how he keeps a job.
Yeah, right.
You better go out there and look at that board.
They did. But the thing that gets me, what about the other people before
that
me
know.
That didn't
That's
know
right.
the
know.
Law?
Right.
And let them get away with it. How many city dollars?
And that's what they're counting on. They can afford to pay
exactly.
the one or two who know. But they're going to try with everybody, hoping that a bunch of them aren't going to know.
Right. And But I will never forget that day. She said, you don't get time and a half. You're just part-time. You're just here for the storm.
I can
and
see
all
the queen
this.
Rising your,
oh,
in
girl,
your throat.
Oh, girl.
Straight up to here.
The veins in my head just popped over. like I read now. I could get pumped up for this shit. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But we worked every day for like 2 or 3 weeks there.
I know.
It was like 50, 60 hours, and they were just going to get a straight time. I am sorry. You better get out there and look at that board.
Yeah.
And, you know, the government, they put it all in red, white, and blue, and it's like four
it
by four.
It was hot.
Yes.
It was a hard job.
This is the month of June, July.
Yeah. After the hurricane, cleaning
God
up all
almighty,
the debris and everything people put out in the yards.
Huh?
I said cleaning up all the debris that people put out in the yards.
Oh, and pick it up dead. One time
trees.
I picked up a dead dog, didn't realize it was a dead dog. That was
thing.
A sickening day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pick up dead animals.
This was in the Heights, and it was in a garbage bag, and I put it up against my chest. I thought it was just a bunch of sticks in there.
Oh.
I won't describe the rest of it.
No, please.
Please don't.
I just wanted, I would love to find out how many other workers that just go along with the system.
All
see,
of them?
See,
how many times did you fall off the back of the truck?
I only fell off once. Did you hear the story? Did I tell you the story?
No.
It was in the Heights.
Oh.
It was like a curve road. You know, one of those curves.
And they have maniacs. Maniacs drive these trucks. I'm telling you, man.
Oh, yeah.
They try to throw you off.
Oh, I did. I fell off twice. But the second time was a real good one. You know? It was going. It was in the Heights. Not the Heights, but Spring Branch. And it was like in the morning, early morning, and the bags were a little wet, you know, and I'm the whole time. And my driver's going at a real good clip and going around a curve. And
whiplash.
It wasn't a curve. It was just like, how do you describe it? Like, the yard was
an
like
L turn.
Yeah. And here I fall off. But when I fell off, it was a good speed. Hands went up, legs went back.
And I went, ladylike, huh?
And I went 23 feet
graceful
across this yard.
Safe.
And it was like, it didn't even hurt. It really didn't hurt. I could have got a 10 for Olympics. You know? But I did miss this manhole about 2 feet. It was about 2 feet. If I would have hit that manhole, it would have been something. But my, it's hard to describe this on the radio.
You have to see it, yeah.
Yeah, but I had a good... The driver didn't even know I fell off. He kept driving down the
road. Not only are you laying in the mud, you got to chase the driver down.
No, I was left behind. It was in the grass. I mean, I just slid across this grass.
So you had some grass burns.
No grass burns. The grass was a little moist.
Okay.
A little moist.
Okay.
But my chest was like, whoa.
Yeah, I got left behind once. I mean, I put the bag of leaves and stuff in the back, and the truck just took off. Whoa. And I'm standing there going, okay. Kept walking, and he came back around eventually.
Well, one of the yard guys was resting on the porch, just sat down to rest. And when this all happened, he went,